All right, welcome back to Green Box Gaming Place Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. It's been a while, and you are getting us right here on the back of a very fascinating and enlightening admission by Jean, which I am not going to repeat for all the internet to hear, because I feel like it's deeply personal, probably protected medical information. Mm-hmm. So it's like it just wouldn't be appropriate.
It's under HIPAA.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's not in this country, it still is covered by our country's privacy laws.
That's kind.
Right. I'm Joe. I'm going to be your handler again. It's been a while since we've been here. I'm joined by my good friends Dace, playing Busiek.
Oh, yeah.
We're joined by Jean, playing Benedict.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the vibe Benedict's bringing today? Like more okay. And then of course Hank playing Brad, of course.
Hello.
That's right, Brad. Hank, I would like to know
how many Dr. Weird fans we have.
Dr. Weird.
Because I want to actually say what I was going to say before you cut me off.
Would you like to explain who Dr. Weird is for literally everybody in the world?
Yeah, clearly everyone knows exactly what we're talking about.
But what he looks like is basically like the first version. It's like, okay, we need a mad scientist character. It's like the first sketch of like a version someone was brainstorming, like, yes, let's go with that. You know, that's what he looks like.
But you're describing the whole show, Brad. Everything is the very first version of what someone did, which is why
an obscure character from a show called Aqua Teen Hunger Force. For context.
Thank you, Dace. This is for bringing in everyone else.
His official description is he's a mad scientist who lives in an abandoned insane asylum in the rainy South Jersey shore. He has appeared in every episode of season 1 and season 2 in cold openings with the catchphrase "Gentlemen, behold" to his assistant Steve.
I think to call those cold opens is generous. Well, like we were talking at the beginning before the show about I don't know how we got an Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and it did bring up, and it turns out three of the four of the people currently on this call, not the biggest fans. I'll let you guess who is into it based off.
Dude, a piece of meat, some fries, and a shake live together and pay rent.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious.
So to you, you're just like, how do they pay for things? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like the little detail, like their lawn's always not cut. You know, it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure the writers were like, you know, I feel like, what does it say that they don't cut their lawn? Like, what does it mean?
Right. You know? Just the sheer craft that was put into that show.
so we were talking about this, and it's like, and it's a bit of a deep cut. Like, and I think that for us, you know, as like people in our 30s, like, you know, like that, we were probably the target demographic when that show came out. When
Never Aqua say my Force age on the internet, out. Joe.
Pardon me.
30-ish.
Cut it from the record. Can we strike that from the record, please? Okay, thank you. Like, it never even happened. But I feel like we were, like, the target demographic. And I was going to ask you guys about other shows like that, like Beavis and Butthead or Ren and Stimpy. Like, were you into those, like, absurdist humor, like, kind of, like, hyper-wacky,
kind of shows? Ren and Stimpy and Beavis and Butthead was, like, kind of a generation before us.
It's a little older than us, yeah.
Almost all across the board, no, with the exception of Robot Chicken.
Same. And Family Guy.
Yeah.
In the same region.
I don't think Family Guy is in the same category.
In that genre.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know, Jean, I know your life, in your life, you know, a talking dog is mind-boggling. And I want you to know I'm with you.
We don't get those there.
On that.
Here.
Yeah, it's not like an American phenomenon. I want you to know it's not normal here yet.
Well, but Robot Chicken also has, like, it's a sketch show. And I feel like sketch shows can afford to be a little bit more wacky.
A little more wacky.
You know, it's like you have a palate cleanser after, you know, with Robot Chicken, like 30 seconds or less, you know.
Right.
Weren't they were like, true. They were 12 minutes long though, right? Because it's like, you cannot make skits of 30 yeah. seconds string together for longer than 12 minutes before your brain melts. It's, I think that was the
theory. Well, I think, but they still showed them two at a time.
Yes.
You know, right to get now. To the...
And it also had like the pop culture references. So right, even right. if you didn't really think it's funny, it's kind of like, oh, it's Star Wars, you know, type thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, there's definitely a, there's, I guess nowadays it's like on the internet, like it'd be called like, oh, that's absurdist humor. It's like, but there's definitely was a time where that was very niche, you know, and like people knew about like, if you mentioned Cornholio in the right group of people, you know, like you were like, oh, like you were just going to get, you know, yeah. it's going to be a rip.
Cornholio kills. That's my go-to joke. I'll just walk into a party and say, Cornholio. And
pull your shirt over your head. John, so if you don't know what we're talking about, you're not missing much.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
Yeah, I just want to point out that Joe is procrastinating from a very, very long recap that he needs to do.
Oh, crap, I am.
Let him have fun.
I'm sorry.
Let him have his fun.
Before I have to get to work. Yeah.
What about Kung Pao Enter the Fist? Would that fall into that category?
Yeah.
I go pee-pee standing up.
That's a lot of nuts has survived in the meme community pretty well. Well, but I think that's a lot. I think that's a lot different. I think things like Kung Pao Enter the Fist, which is it's like the Naked Gun of spoof movies, sort right? of, it's yeah. like the hot. Yeah. Like it's meant to be a spoof movie. That is what it is. Like it's not the same as Ren, Stimpy, and Beavis and Butthead. And
I think Leslie Nielsen would be insulted. To be,
Oh really?
You don't think
Kung Pao?
I don't know, man. I think one. Dowdy's listening.
He'll be
might
so
be dead.
Disappointed.
I mean, the guy just fart jokes in interviews. I'm sure he loves Kung Pao.
He probably thinks that Kung Pao is gold. Well, okay.
I implore you to reconsider.
I implore you. Well, okay. So here's the thing. Do you think that a movie like Naked Gun series or the Hot Shots or Kung Pao? Do you think they're good movies, or are they just good comedies? Like, are they the kind of things you're like, this is cinema? Like, I don't really think so.
I don't know.
You can go with neither.
It's a great
John.
I don't know.
Hot take.
It's a blurry line for sure. I don't want to be a pompous. I'd say it's great cinema. That's what I'm gonna say. Stamp.
You're gonna go with great cinema.
Yeah,
Kung Pao Enter the Fist, right up there with Schindler's List, you know.
Dude,
it's when you, it's
how
when
many
you
quotes do you know from Schindler's List, Joe?
You're right. I don't remember how many times has Schindler's List been memed.
Oh, so cute.
It just throws. I'm gonna have to. I feel like if I tried to watch Kung Pao Enter the Fist with my wife, I feel like she would just like get up and be like, "I'm gonna go stay with my mom for a while."
She'd
like,
lose she a lot just... of respect for you. You just be constantly quoting it.
Yeah, it's probably actually better for me in a lot of ways to not rewatch it so that I'm not repriming myself with that concept.
So I did try to rewatch it a few years ago, and I didn't make it all the way through. I feel like if I watched it with a friend, I would have a blast.
Yeah.
But rewatching it alone in bed at night,
I feel like when we first watched it, didn't we have it on DVD and it wasn't you and I watching it on repeat?
Hell yeah, we got it from Blockbuster or something.
Yeah.
That might be the movie that I have the most quotes memorized from, and I'm not proud to say it. And The Lighthouse. That's my personality
that is
in a nutshell.
There's
that
like
is a serious gap. Range. Dace has range, in case you didn't know.
There's four major movies that Dace's household introduced me to. One of them was Kung Pao Enter the Fist. And kind of the same vein was Mighty Python, Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Anime, Akira, because I think Jessica had that, and we just took it. and watched it for like at a way too young age.
Way and, too young.
The Matrix.
Yeah. Well, I remember consuming Monty Python, the Holy Grail. God. Oh, Pumpkin Cakes just mentioned Airplane and Airplane 2.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Dude.
Oh, so
hey,
good.
Home, I can dig it.
We don't have to keep talking about this, but it was one of the most epic things that's ever happened to me. So, me and, like, some other Hershey and, like, some other guys from our school, we all quit football in ninth grade at the same time, so they didn't know what to do with us, so we just went to a study hall. And I forgot the teacher's name, but she didn't know what to do with us, so she just let us pick a movie to watch. And we're like, yeah, this is fine, so we watched Airplane.
Oh, my God.
And,
a bunch of ninth graders watching Airplane.
And it was hilarious and great. And we came up with a scheme because we knew she was going to cut it off as soon as the tits came on. So Sal got in front of her and, like, distracted her. And then right when the tits came on, everybody was like, yeah! And then the teacher was like, what the fuck is going on?
It's not. I feel like that's a very unique to you Airplane experience, Leslie Nielsen experience, Brad.
It was epic.
Oh, God.
Knock yourself a pro, Slick.
Well, listen, speaking of experiences that need a lot of background context to make sense, let's talk about where we are at Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. How about
that? Here we go.
All right. Last time, guys. Does anyone remember what was the last thing that happened? Anybody?
Hell no.
And by the way, for our listening audience, especially our listening audience who listens later to the podcast, it has been at least a month, maybe two, since we played Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. Because
music from a darkened room.
Well, music from a darkened room, and then we had the D&D one shot. It's been a minute because it's currently early February, and we played the D&D one shot at the end of December, mid-December. So yeah, it's been at least 2 months. Jeez. So, last time with the guys, Hank, Busiek, Benedict, you guys are at the end of a long road, longer for two of you than Busiek, as you guys are moving ever closer to Carcosa, ever closer to the center of everything, as you're being pulled in. You guys entered the Hotel Broad Albin. You guys descended down into the labyrinth. You lost Benji. You found Benedict. All this time, kind of going along with this, this note that you found from Abigail.
Busiek,
find J.C. Linson.
I can't let it go. We found Busiek.
What? I said that.
No.
I said it, Jean.
No, it's on the record. You fucking play that back, motherfucker.
Did you guys hear me say it?
I'll be honest, I was checked out.
Okay.
I heard Busiek.
Anyway, you guys have been kind of following this list that you found all the way back when you came out of the night world and the asylum. Find J.C. Lance. Go now. Find the hotel, the labyrinth, the author, the bottle, the city, the lake, its shadow, the battle. Then the party, the dance, the girl in blue, the one singing, nothing is true except out is through. So you guys are significantly further down that list. Like there was a bit there where it's like it was kind of dragging for you to knock things off the list, and it was like blam, because you found the city, you found its shadow, the Carcosa underneath the lake. You descended down, and you right now are in the middle of the war zone. You guys crash down and. It's always important to remind ourselves that Busiek saved Hank's life as you guys descended down, that he's the hero we deserve, and the hero we need, and the leader.
Why do we need any of us? Let's just listen to Busiek the entire episode.
I'm done with that.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to turn the call off for you guys. I'm going to mute you. It's just going to be me and Dace. But you guys pushed through Carcosa, the Twin City version of Carcosa. You ran across a family of locals who were dead and not dead. You eventually pushed into the war zone. You met an anarchist who gave you a bomb, and then exploded shortly thereafter. And you pushed through. You encountered some a German Luftwaffe pilot who you dispatched before he, or who you managed to avoid getting blown up by. There are different combatants. There are Russians. There are Germans. There's these like weird Turk people. And you guys are currently in the middle of the war zone. Last time, the last thing that happened, you guys were kind of moving through this no man's land, and you drew artillery fire that was zeroed into your location. And we had a very crunchy last episode where we were like, okay, I can't remember if it was Benedict or Hank. One of you guys was it Benedict? Yeah. One of you guys was like, oh, you're dead. Like, you're completely dead. You've taken so much damage. But then we remembered you guys were wearing body armor, and we were able to get through it, and you guys are able to push through this area. And Busiak, again, being the hero, the leader, a true men amongst men, again, saves you guys, starts to patch you guys back up, and you guys realize as Benedict and Hank are miraculously healed all the way back to Max in this unnatural way, and Busiak, who's way more sane than these guys, unfortunately actually passes his sanity check and realizes that the unnatural is at work here, and is unable to heal himself. So that is where we are. You guys have just cleared this area where you nearly died, where you were being bombarded by artillery shells. Go ahead.
So, but right before this, this is before we met the people with like holes in their head. One of the groups asked us to take a bomb to the palace, right?
Exactly. Then, that was the anarchist. Yeah.
Okay, they gave us the bomb, and then that's what sent us into the battlefield, basically, or the artillery. Okay.
Exactly. And this whole time, you guys are moving toward the palace. There's this big, kind of like, you know, this bulb, kind of Kremlin-esque, you know, like topped palace in the far distance. You know, and as you guys have been moving through, it's like it always seems to be kind of in one direction. And it's like and no matter how far you went, it was like the battlefield was always between you and it. And now you're moving through the battlefield to the best of your ability, through the war zone, toward the palace, toward the center of everything. And something that was interesting when you guys did interact with the family, is you realize that they were, you told them that you were going to the palace, you were going to the ball, and they were, you know, it was like they just met celebrities. Like, they were like, oh my god, you're going to the palace, oh, you must be very important. And even the guy who gave you the bomb, it's like, oh, you're going to the palace, it's like, you're gonna take it, you're gonna take this bomb in there, you know, and it's very important. You get the feeling that, and again, you guys have known for a while, definitely Hank and Benedict, that you guys are at the middle of something. You guys are a part of something big, a part of this grand story. And you've been told many times in many different iterations by many different people that you're playing your part. And right now, your part is apparently to go to the ball. But right now, you've got much bigger fry, much more bigger, more immediate, more explodey fish to fry as you guys are continuing through the war zone. Have we lost Jean?
No,
is he very still? Oh, there he is. Okay.
I have a question. My hand is up.
Go.
We had the Black Wind, who had fezzes. They were the foreign invaders. We had the King Stooges, and I think one of us is wearing the King Stooges uniform, and the other two were wearing those black, the Black Wind uniforms. And then there was the people, the uprising, right?
Yes, so you've run into different factions. There's the Black Wind, who wear this dark gray uniform with fezzes, and they're the ones who like kind of have this like Turk kind of like almost Middle Eastern feel, but that combination of like Middle Eastern and Eastern European, you know, that kind of feel to them. Yes, there is a group that are the King's soldiers, who wear this like audacious like parade marching like outfit. That feels very inappropriate to actual warfare. You know, it's just like, it's like red and yellow, you know, with like big fancy epaulette stuff. And then you've also run into, you know, especially Benedict having some military history in his back. Like, these are definitely like Soviet
like conscript World War II soldiers, and you guys have seen Germans, you know, yes. like in their like grayish, well, it's, what is this, like greenish gray, like kind of like service, like field uniforms and stuff. You ran into the Luftwaffe pilot back before you guys entered the war zone. So yeah, there's a lot going on. But yes, there appears to be some type of resistance.
My question was about if you were to be saved by a certain firefighter, do you think that that would make him a Bond? Would that bond you? Would that bond you as a firefighter? Such as, like, I remember Hank Ellis also saved me. And even Benji Potts. Sorry, I saved Hank Ellis and I bonded to him. And then Benji, I was saved by him. The poor soul, he's deceased now. Would you say that
God,
would be
God bless him.
Bonded to Busiak?
So for those of you who are playing Greenbox Gaming Bingo at home, go ahead and mark on your sheet where Jean tries to argue for some type of bonus. Go ahead and mark that on your sheet. Because
Benedict is toxic. He's so what is it when you rely on other people?
Codependent.
Yeah, codependent.
It's the only way he's made it this far, man. This old
bonds
editor.
Everybody that's in his vicinity.
He's a
he
parasite.
He literally used Jeremy as like, go into that little closet and drown and become insane.
He sure did.
This is his mechanic.
Sounds
right?
Like Benedict doesn't want to go insane.
That's what it sounds like to me.
He has two things. He smashes mirrors. He has three things. He smashes mirrors. He sends other people into the fray. And... Right. I forgot the third thing.
That's enough. I mean, that's plenty. All right. So, because Jean is like this,
I'm just trying
like
to be
everyone.
Fair,
John. I would like everyone to roll me a sanity check. Please tell me what you get.
Oh,
damn it! What seems Price. Unnecessary?
Be angry at Jean.
Benedict fails.
Success for Busiak.
Fail for Hank.
What Benedict or what Busiak get?
He got a 20.
What Busiak?
Under 64.
Okay, so he passed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is actually one of those things that you want to fail. You want to fail this if you want to get a new bond. So I want. So we need. And the way it works, I was actually looking back over this. It's not just you don't just have this new bond with the. With the individual who did something. You actually get it with everyone present. Huh. So, Benedict and Hank, I want you to add, and let me roll a dice here real quick, just to see what we've got. Da-da-da. Roll a d4. All right, Benedict and Hank, I need you to add a new bond on your sheet. You need to add two new bonds. You need to add both of you. Add one for, you know, Hank needs to add one for Benedict and Busiak. And Benedict needs to add one for Busiak. And wait.
We're already, me and Benedict are already bonded.
Yeah, we already bonded. Hank saved me before.
Okay.
Other way around.
Then go ahead and you need to add... Let's see, Hank, if you're already bonded to Benedict, go ahead and add, instead, let me roll another d4 here for this.
It automatically
add
filled
three
in 5 for me on a
to
new
Benedict.
Bond.
Yeah, and I rolled that dice earlier. If you guys have new bonds with each other, or if you now are bonded with Busiak, which you both are, started at 5 because I rolled the max on that.
Sweet.
So Busiak passed his sanity check. So he does not get a new bond with these guys.
It's just another day in
it's
the
just
life
another
of
day
Busiak.
The
God damn.
Yeah.
He's rich get richer.
He saves people all day. That's just, it's who he is. It's why
just,
we love
what,
him. It's why.
He like slightly twisted his ankle doing that massive barrel roll off the ship that came crashing down.
Right.
He's like, ain't nothing.
Yeah. This is why we all
good
love
stuff.
Benedict. Or I love Busiak. Oh, and by the way,
you
two. Oh, okay, my bad. And by the way, yeah. So unless I'm mistaken, I will roll. Well, so for Benedict and Hank, I do need you. Do you guys have any other bonds remaining?
Yes,
I got Hank and Busiak.
You got Hank and Busiak. So
they're my only friends.
You're not even even a Papua New Guinea.
No,
at this
Papua
point.
New Guinea was gone at some point. I can't remember.
Okay, well,
why.
Benedict, you're good. You don't have anyone left to lose.
No.
Unless you want to lose some of that old bond with Benedict Potts now.
It's Benji Potts. No, he's gone. Zero.
Okay.
Once Hank, your bond dies, you lose that access to the bond, right?
Correct. Yeah. I just thought it'd be thematically
thanks
fun.
Thanks for, like, fucking just...
Oh,
just
yeah.
Screwing that knife right
twisting
there.
The knife.
Yeah. But for Brad, what bonds do you have remaining?
Three with Cindy and four with Sons. Version 2.
Hobo Sons.
From one of those bonds, I need you to subtract one for deepening your bond with Benedict.
Okay.
that's not a All right. good laugh.
No, yeah, that was a good laugh. Oh, and I'm sorry, both of you, your bond with Busiak should be half of your charisma, is what it should be at.
Oh.
Cool.
That's what it should be at. But Hank, I need you to remove 1d4. Or, sorry, well, I already rolled it earlier. I need you to remove 4 from one of your bonds as well. You need to destroy one of your bonds. Your bonds is deepening with your crew. The trauma bonding is removing your connection to someone else.
Wasn't Cindy a waitress? Who is Cindy?
She works in the marshal's office.
Yeah, she was like the records right. person.
She's like a clerk of sorts. Cindy. I'm going to just...
Probably the only one.
I'm just going to delete my sons, in quotes.
It's finally happened.
Hank's just like... He's really, he's right, come guys, to terms that he's just estranged from his real sons, and that these are just random men in his house.
Finally. Excellent.
How long has it been since Hank abandoned his homeless sons in his apartment and left them with nothing but, what was it, soup to eat?
Right.
Do you think they're all dead?
I mean they're like, grown men as well. Days, come on.
At this,
it's not like they're cats in the house, trapped in the house.
Did Hank lock them in from the outside?
This is the point where our scene shifts to a landlord slamming on Hank's door of his apartment. He's like, Hank, I have to come in. I'm coming in. And he opens the door and just sees the place. It's just piles of soup cans. All these, like... nest built all around the house. And the guys are all gone. They're just gone. They've like one of the windows is broken. It looks like they went out onto the fire escape. They didn't open the window. They broke it. And then went out that way.
It's like like fire alarms going off.
Right. another plot line successfully resolved.
Excellent. Well, listen. I think we can probably end Impossible Landscapes there. I feel like we've all gotten what we wanted. I feel like this is a great place to close the campaign. We're done.
They didn't even leave a note.
No, they didn't.
Cut back to us two, and I'll just be like, Hank, do you ever think of your sons? I realize I don't think of Papua New Guinea anymore. I don't think he cares. I don't think Papua New Guinea cares for me anymore. It's been too much time.
You got boys, Hank? How old are your boys?
I haven't told you this, Benedict, but I feel I've been living in a fantasy world for too long. I've been estranged from my sons for quite some time. Just random men I was hanging out with my apartment. But I gave names that sounded like my sons, but they weren't.
When you say it out loud. Jesus.
What do you mean they were just random guys who were hanging out in your apartment? What are you talking about?
You mean Jethro, Jonah, Jude, Julius, and JJ?
Are those their actual names, Hank?
I don't even know anymore.
Oh, God.
Just staring.
It's okay. It's okay, man.
To be clear, to deal with the loss of your estranged sons, you took in random homeless men into your apartment.
And named them.
As a way to deal with the loss.
Everybody copes in their own way.
That is entirely accurate. Luciak. We've been through hell and back, and we're going deeper. But somehow I feel more connected to you than I do my own sons.
Oh, Christ almighty.
And the funny thing is, Busiek, it's not mutual. You are not bonded to them. They're bonded to you.
And Benedict's like nodding furiously. Yeah. Yeah, Hank.
Yeah.
Busiek is... I don't think I've met a better man.
All right, let's calm down now.
I would thank you kindly to never bring up my sons or the men that lived in my house ever again.
With pleasure.
All right. Well, listen. So you guys are here. You are on the edge of this burnt out no man's land that you crossed, that you managed to thinly get through this bombardment. And yes, you two of you are unnaturally healed at this time due to the nature of this place. You know, but well, what is Busiek at for HP? He took some damage.
Let's see.
So I think you guys
11 out of 15.
All right, so Busiek, you know, he's a big beefy boy, right? You know, so he's still doing okay. But so now you guys are here, and you need to move on. You need to move past. Like, the quicker you get away from this place, you feel like the safer you'll be. But it seems like around every corner there's some fucking problem. So what are you guys gonna do?
Let me think.
Is it still an active war zone? Like, is there still ordnance fallen? And
yeah. You guys are still very much in this area, and like 360 degrees around you, every now and then you hear those, you know, whether it is the sounds of maybe mortar shells in the far distance off to your right, and small arms fire off this way. Yes, a random shout and then a pained scream, you know, like forward and behind. Like, you guys are still pushing through. It's still around you.
Is there a sewer system?
We tried this. Well, we were attempting to do that at one.
We got chased away.
The fucking thing that killed Benji reached out at Hank.
Right. You guys ascended down into a basement in an attempt to find a sewer, and you were kind of chased back up as you saw basically back into the labyrinth, like when you were down there. And so
I don't think that's the way through Busiek. I saw horrors that we saw.
Joe also described like the entire landscape in the distance. It's like the equivalent of a skybox in a game. It's just that thing that's always out on the periphery, and the palace itself just felt like it was constantly on the periphery.
Yeah.
Well, we got any ideas?
Well, I'm feeling pretty spry at the moment. I wouldn't mind just huffing it, running full force as fast as we can instead of stealthily through this horrible battlefield.
Straight shot, all or nothing. I like it.
I'm in.
Just push through.
So we're just gonna sprint towards...
Yeah.
Towards the palace. Okay. I'll race you there, Hank. And he takes off.
Chase me, Hank! A foot race. Hey, keep in mind, you guys are like coming, wearing these like uniforms that have bullet holes in them, right? They were taken off of dead men, you know, and like, and you guys are this blasted out landscape, these buildings that have, you know, suffered. And here we have Benedict and Hank, like, slow motion, like, running. No, it's grimmer than that. Okay, so who's leading the way as we're moving through here?
I guess Hank will, since he feels he's been healed, he feels more himself.
Okay. And so you guys are just going to move towards the palace? Is that just the goal here still?
Yep. Okay. Straight line. Very quickly. I imagine we're, like, jogging.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, it's like, you know, there is this element of, like, you know, sometimes you look down a street and it you know, terminates on, like, a kind of, like, cul-de-sac thing, and then you look back and now it's a straight, or like a T-junction or something like that. You know, Carcosa tends to kind of move fluidly around you. And, it, you know, and there's a point where, like, you guys are not becoming necessarily adjusted to it, but it's just the expectation that moving is not as easy as it seems. Hank, make me that sanity check. Let's see what we do here.
Success.
Ooh, I just realized Hank's sanity is 33. Man,
it's
he is very low. He is not doing well. Yeah.
Just came to terms with his sons abandoning him.
Should he get sanity for that? Probably not.
Absolutely not. No.
Should I get sanity points for going really more insane?
He was delusional before, so there's an argument.
Okay,
but
so
I'm not gonna make it.
So here's what we need from Hank here then. Hank, you know, you're moving around, but Hank kind of defaults back to his normal way to navigate this weird space, and it's not working out. If you want to continue to make, if you want to make good time here, you either need to give me a willpower point or take a point of sanity damage. What do we think?
I gotta give you a will point. Willpower point.
What's that put you at? Okay, still doing good. You still got some spare there. Okay, you know, one good push and you get close. Right. All right. So Hank, you know, through sheer willpower, you know, you almost, and maybe one of you guys as you're watching, you know, Hank taking the lead here, there's, you know, a time where maybe Hank is, you know, gets frustrated, you know, that he turns around, you know, he takes two alleys in a row and they're like all exact carbon copies of each other. Like the location of the dumpster in the alleyway and the debris at the end. And at one point in time, like Hank, like, gets frustrated, and maybe one of you catch out of the corner of your eye, like, a new opening in the alleyway kind of, like, manifests itself as almost as, like, Hank imparts his will upon the very landscape and forces it to yield to him in this strange place. So, could I get one of you guys? Jean, why don't, just so I can have one person do this. Jean, can you roll me a d6?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we do here.
That's a 2.
That's a 2. Excellent. Okay.
Did I do good?
Oh, you did great. I want you to know that you did super good. So, you guys are making your way, and again, like, you're making pretty good time. Two of you are feeling significantly better, and Busiak, you're not in the worst shape either. You know, you're still doing pretty well. You guys are making your way, and, you know, there is a point where you do become a little tired, and, you know, it's like, okay, let's just take a breather here. The street looks pretty safe. It doesn't look like there's really much going on. And you guys take, I don't know, maybe there's, like, you know, an area where there previously looks like there might have been a battle here before, but there are no bodies, maybe just, like, a few sandbags and stuff, and maybe you guys just take refuge, you know, like, in one of these, like, rings of sandbags, like, at a juncture in the streets with, a, you know, dilapidated and destroyed, busted apartments kind of rising on all sides of you. As you guys are here, can I get all of you to give me alertness checks? As you guys are here, and I imagine it's in your best interest, even if you're taking a breather, to kind of stay aware of what's going on, right?
Success from everyone.
Successes all around.
Yeah, successes across the board. God, I forget how good Hank's alertness is. 82.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He got a 75.
He doesn't even need to roll.
That's why he's so insane. He's so aware of what's going on.
Too aware.
Yeah. So you guys are all here, and you know, you're like, you know, kind of taking a breather. You're like hunkered down, and you have your weapons and stuff, and you're paying attention. But it seems like the fighting is a little far away. And Hank is the first one to hear it, but you all get it pretty quickly. The sound of, you hear something that sounds almost like, it starts off, you know, the sound of like water being poured out onto the ground, like that slapping.
No.
But okay. So Dace, when you pour water out of a container onto so I need you to get up from your computer and go outside real quick. Right. So when you guys hear the sound that sounds almost like water lapping on stones, right? This like slapping kind of sound. But it seems like it's growing closer down one of the streets. And you guys are surprised to see a group of what looks like, it looks like men. Their heads are all shaved. They are skeletally thin, and they are clothed in like black and white striped like prisoner uniforms, and they're just rags just hanging off of them. Like they're emaciated, and they are, some of them are shackled to each other, and some of them, you know, are like, you know, carrying these comical big iron weights with them as they go. But they are rail thin, and they are panicked looking, and they break toward your position. And it looks like they're gonna run either straight, like in your, this place where you've taken refuge, they're gonna run like straight by you, and there's very unlikely they're not gonna see you. But they're like coming your way. They definitely are like, they're like casting glances behind them and stuff like that. They're definitely running from, like, they're running from something. And they're running.
What are they pouring? You.
No, you realize that the sound is the sound of their bare feet on the cobblestones. Like a group of like almost a dozen people just like slap, 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 slap. Like, you know, and their feet are, some of their feet, you know, you can tell from here, some of them are bruised and bloodied, and almost all their feet are like torn to shreds.
Looks like a group of prisoners. Probably.
You ever see that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, you think they'd be as comedic as that trio?
Oh God, I hope so. I could use some laughs.
Jesus. Regardless, I don't. They're probably not enemies.
Do you think they know anything? What are they running from?
I think it might be
wise. Should we be running right now?
Maybe it'd be wise to, when they get close enough, ask them what they're going for, what they're running from.
Yeah. All right. Are they approaching us? Are they like within hailing distance?
Is there here's what I'd like to do. Is there in this alleyway an opening we can be like, hey, come this way?
Probably. You could probably like direct them maybe back the way you've come if you're trying to get them to relative safely, unless you're trying to like draw them into like a pit trap or something.
No. Like draw them into a area of shelter.
Okay. And you're watching, and it's like, and more of them come. It looks like there's almost like 30 of them, you know, and they're all like plodding along, and some of them helping each other, and some of them, Hank, just like,
Hank, these aren't your sons, but if you want, we can hang out with them a little bit.
It's a deep cut, Benedict. That's messed up.
That's fresh. Very fresh. Okay. So as they, is Busiak going to shout out to them? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Hey, over here.
And can I be reminded which of you is wearing? Two of you are wearing black wind uniforms, and one of you is wearing the King's Forces uniforms. Do you remember?
I think Busiak was the outlier.
Okay, so two of you are in black.
There was talk of a Wookiee trick.
Yes, there was. I mean, like the you're too short to be a stormtrooper kind of stuff. Yeah, so Busiak stands up from where you are, and you wave, you know, like, hey, you know, or whatever you say. They're the group of men. They see you, and at first they stop. You know, like the one in front of them, like, kind of stops, and the others, like, kind of pile into him, and they fall over each other. Like, they're just, like, skin and bones.
Busiak erupts in laughter.
Which is really appropriate Slapsick. As they all seem to come back up to their feet and, in some cases, begin to run at you on all fours, screaming and shouting as they go.
Dude, they look angry.
They look crazy. They look
They're running at us on all fours.
Oh fuck!
Do
they
seem cool,
guys? I think we fucked up.
So, what do you guys do in this moment? These guys, they're just like they're coming at you. Like the ones that have these big iron balls, they're like raising them above their heads. You know, with what little strength they have.
Oh shit!
Guys, we gotta run.
Yeah, I'd say run or hide.
Okay, let's run.
We're all chained together.
Run!
All right.
Okay. So you guys are going to start to beat feet. I'm going to need some athletics or dexterity checks or something to...
No problem.
...to hump it out of here.
Failed dex for Hank.
Success for Busia.
Failure from Benedict.
Okay. All right. So Busiak was the only one who succeeded, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah,
Busiak, these two are lagging behind you. And I'm going to make a some rolls here.
So they see them wearing the other uniforms and that doesn't change their disposition at all?
It doesn't seem to. Yeah, they seem to be panicked, crazed. And looking at them now, you know, Busiak, doesn't Busiak have like a little bit of like medical kind of knowledge of some type?
EMT,
pretty good
type training.
Busiak, like you don't know how these people are walking. Like you would imagine that they're almost probably on the edge of death anyway. It's like, you know, they're probably crazed. They look to have escaped from something. You know, they all have like prisoner numbers on their, you know, on their chest. Those who have that, whose their shirts are either on or, you know, not, you know, kind of rags just on them. You don't know what has happened to these people. So, but they, I will say, luckily for you, for the two of you who are not getting on as well, there seems to be a lot of chaos in this group. And again, there's like 30 of these people. Like, there's a lot of chaos as like some of them are running forward and some of them are like almost like trying to hide and stuff like that. But eventually the whole group does get up, but it's moving slowly and it's not like gaining on you guys. Busiak, because Busiak is making the push here, can I get a sanity check as you break off? You're trying to find a way away from these guys.
All right. Success. Okay. 764.
So, again, Busiak is just a bit too level-headed and a bit too grounded in the old reality to navigate Carcosa well. Would you like to implore your will or even give up a piece of your sanity to make a way here?
No.
Okay. If that is the case, then you guys find yourself... you guys find yourself, Busiak, you know, maybe there's a section where there's like a road that goes over this one. There's like a bridge, like, you know, big stone bridge with a walkway underneath it. And you say to the guys, you're like, you're over here, you know, like, follow me. It's like, and you go this way and you get to the other side and seemingly on all sides, there is debris, like just piled up. It looks like you might have found yourself a bit of a dead end.
Hell.
So, at that, everyone go ahead and give me, some more, or what do we want to do now? So you guys kind of find yourself in this debris cul-de-sac.
Are they still chasing us?
Yes, they are still very much chasing you. You have, I would say that you have a few moments here to kind of...
And I give up one of my willpower to find a way out.
If you want to try to find a way, then you could roll a sanity check and then,
okay,
and then blow through some willpower if necessary. If that's what you want to do, is Hank going to be like, "We gotta find a way out"?
I don't know. Do we shoot these guys? It doesn't look like they're friendly. That was my mistake.
don't think we have ammo. We don't have enough ammo. Let's keep running.
I got an axe. We could slaughter him like sheep.
Oh, look at him,
they're emaciated. Crush them like cockroaches.
Did I see on this thing we have 10 sticks of dynamite? Because we disarmed that bomb.
Yeah.
Is this what you wanted, Joe?
Yeah, you do.
Let's throw the dynamite.
Busiak is not actually on board with this.
Okay.
Hank, I'm with you. Let's do this.
Busiak wants to chop him with an axe, but he doesn't want to blow him up with dynamite. Yeah.
Well, Busiak is the one
joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think Busiak is the one with a demo skill, so he would be the one to do the dynamite. So what are you guys doing? These guys are coming.
Yeah, I think Hank doesn't want
to fight.
Risk. Yeah, he doesn't want to risk his sanity anymore. So he's gonna yell out one final time. He's like, halt, stop, something.
Okay. Benedict's gonna be like through.
Benedict's gonna tell Busiak, Busiak, get that dynamite ready.
No, you fucking crazy?
Busiak, do it! There's
What is Busiak's hesitation here?
He doesn't want to be a mass murderer.
Okay.
I don't think these guys are here to talk, Busiak.
If the choice is between throwing some dynamite and a crowd of 30 people chained together and burning some will or sanity to find an alternate route, Busiak is going to do the latter.
Busiak doesn't
if
know.
He's still got time.
He can't know that he's going to find a way out. We're trapped.
No, but in the narrative, he could panically look around for an escape.
Okay. Well, and that's what happens on the character side, is that the character is looking around and then miraculously finds a way. They don't know they're burning willpower.
God damn it, right. Busiak, give me that. So, and Benedict will take the dynamite. And he's going to be ready.
Is Busiak going to permit this?
I think he's more occupied with looking for a way out.
Okay.
Benedict has zero demolitions. Just FYI.
Well, but he's demolitions, the demolition skill would not be so much. And we had said previously, these sticks of dynamite do not have fuses, but you can shoot dynamite. To explode it.
Cool.
Right, and, I forgot that. And I did say that you guys came under the stone bridge thing into this dead end. And so it would make sense that there is a bit of a choke point. So Benedict wants to get maximum slaughter out of this what he's about to do.
We just need options. We just need options. Yeah. Hank, I'm going to throw it. You get ready if we need to, but God damn it. Busiak, if you don't find a way, those people are going to be a goddamn pink bastard.
Busiak, try to get them to stop running at us or something, but if they come close enough, it's going to be us or them.
So, I fear. Benedict throws it. We lose one stick of dynamite. He's going to throw it.
No. All right, I need you to make me, I believe, a dexterity check to see how well you throw that. Unless there's is there a throw skill in Delta Green?
No. No.
There might not be. Yeah, dex check. How do you do?
61.
Is that a 60. Pass? It's not going to go where you want.
Thing where he throws it and it falls out the back of his hand and just drops behind him.
Now it's just sitting. No, it's not like a. Well, I don't even know how I play a critical fail in this situation. It definitely does not go where you want it. It does not go into the middle of this little walkway, this little small tunnel that you guys just came out of. It goes off to the side.
Maybe it makes it harder to shoot at or something.
Yeah, I will say that it does land where it might affect some people who are coming through this thing. But that's what Benedict does. What is Busiak doing?
He's looking for a way out.
Okay.
He's frantically searching. What should I do?
Make a sanity check as you are attempting to make sense of this place.
Sanity check, I want to fail. Success. Can't every stop succeeding.
Time. Would you like to go a little bit insane or burn some willpower?
As in lose sanity or burn willpower?
You will lose one sanity or one willpower if you want to bend Carcosa to your will.
I will take one sanity point.
All right.
Away.
So that brings you down to what, 63? Is that right?
Yeah.
Where's your next breaking point? Is Busiak's pretty fresh still?
52.
Okay. Yeah, you got a little ways to go. Okay. Busiak, you are able to, as you are, you know, like climbing, like you like maybe you're like actually going up and you're, you know, you've got your axe. You know, you're a firefighter. You're used to kind of going through the debris and you're putting those skills to the test. But again, you're still too grounded in your old reality, in your old world. There's a moment where you, in the frustration and the madness of all this and how ridiculous it is, you maybe you reach out and you pull a piece of debris down and you see behind it there is a door. There is a door, and right as you're about to axe into it, not even thinking, maybe he stops himself and he actually reaches out and pulls the doorknob. And it opens. And there's some, like, on one of these buildings that's covered up with debris, like, you think you've actually found an entrance into the building itself.
Hey, Benedict, over here.
Okay.
Crack
door
Fox.
Over here.
Crack Fox.
Crack Fox. I'm unfamiliar.
On a cat's face.
Okay.
Peach hat.
Hank runs to the door.
Okay.
Same.
All right, so in this time, let's see how quick on their feet these guys are, this group. Not very quick. That's the first time I rolled a 95, the second time I rolled an 85. These are like, and they're not well. Like, you know, and they're clambering, maybe even being squeezed through this small space. They again kind of like stumble over each other, and they're mad. They're crazed. And there's, you know, and Busiak, I think, having been the one who's like, it's funny, it seems like these two are so jaded at this juncture that they're just like, anyone who means us harm is done. But Busiak seems to still have that element of like, I don't want to hurt these people. They don't seem, you know, like they're the victims here kind of stuff, you know, as Busiak's trying to find you guys a way out. And you guys slam this door, and Busiak, you see that the door is quite heavy. Like, it's quite like a big heavy door. It has like a good bar on it, like a good latch. And you slam the latch shut as you guys find yourself in what might have been like an old jewelry store or something like that. Like, all the glass cases are busted now, but you see that there's that you guys, and you hear the sounds of fist and fingernails and shouting in a language that you guys probably know is Tartesian. You know, like from the other side as they're attempting to like to get through this door. And after a while, you know, you guys, I imagine, and this is probably the moment where you guys are all standing there with your weapons, whether axes or firearms, like at the door. And after a while, they seem to lose interest, and the crowd kind of shuffles off, moaning in pain, you know, and like barely making it, some of them, as you guys seem to have avoided this particular bit of danger for the time being.
We lost some good dynamite.
It was just one, Hank.
You go
and it wasn't
and
a terrible throw.
We lost some really good dynamite.
Talking about the important stuff. No, it's like, so my question is here now. So Busiak was like, no, we can't kill 30 people. And Benedict's like, I'm throwing the dynamite. Hank, you need to shoot it. Like, what is that like now that this group of people is moving away?
Busiak, I don't think you understand. Like, we don't have any friends in this place. You cannot hesitate next time.
If you embrace this place fully, you will lose your humanity. I spent months in the night floors. I went to some dark places. I almost lost myself. You gotta treat them like humans.
he says, covered in his mannequin bits body armor.
Except for the mannequins. Fuck the mannequins.
Oh, look. Luziak, I respect Ankle, that. But...
roll. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. That's fine. Hank interjects.
I roll alertness. What do I see about the interior of this base we've found?
Again, looks to have been completely ransacked from all valuables. And, like, it definitely is, like, you think that this is maybe, again, like, a jewelry store or something where, like, some, like, something luxurious and expensive was sold. There's, like, glass cases. They're all busted. You know, there's, like, one of those big cash registers. If you go in the back, there appears to be an office with scattered papers and, like, several safes that are all lying open. It appears to be like this was a secure location. This was a fairly secure place, but there's nothing of value here. Oh yeah.
Well,
Mount.
I guess it's back on the old dusty trail.
Can we? Yeah. Okay, before we carry on, can we just agree on some kind of rules of engagement? We don't know what we're in for. We've almost been killed multiple times. If it weren't for you, Buziak, I want us to get through this. Like, I want us to get through this, and I don't think we're going to take anyone with us. Not even Abigail. I don't think she's coming back with us. It's just us.
Look, all I'm saying, if it's a choice between killing and running, that ain't no choice at all. I ain't gonna kill people needlessly, but if I have to, yeah, I'll do it. I have done it. I ain't gonna hesitate, Benedict. Not when it matters. I mean, we got through just fine. I found a fucking door and a pile of rubble. Look, we're fine. Like, pats Benedict on the cheek. What are you worried about?
All right, yeah. Booze.
Well, listen.
If you weren't so goddamn handsome.
It's so strong. It's smart. Well, listen, as you guys are hunkered down, maybe finally getting that rest that you meant to get back there, it's probably a good place to take a bit of a break. Things are complicated.
Take a short nap
here.
Do we take a short nap in this little jewelry store?
Again, anyone with their bingo cards out for Jean argues for some type of bonus or something. Go ahead and can you double mark it? Can you double mark a bingo card?
So is that a yes? Works? We get a short nap to get my.
I mean, I think it's. And John's defense, I think, you know, even though there's not day and night necessarily in this place, it seems like we have been on the run for a minute now.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can rest.
Thank you.
If you want to.
Yay.
Everyone roll a sanity check, please.
Oh.
Failure.
Failure. And Busiak succeeds every time.
Okay. So, everyone. Hold on.
Is this a cliffhanger, Joe?
This is not really a cliffhanger. Everyone, go ahead, and those of you who succeeded, everyone, just go ahead. If you're missing HP, you guys are going to stay here for a few hours and rest up, take a shift or so. Go ahead, and if you're missing HP, roll a Constitution check, take that HP back. The rest of you.
Oh shit. I got a fumble on Constitution. What does that mean?
Oh, good question. Good question. What does a fumble when it comes time to heal mean? Love that.
He chokes on his own chicken bone that he had in his pocket.
Let me see. Oh, well, yeah, he pulls out a chicken bone and just puts it in his mouth.
Starts putting it in his sack. No,
and immediately
that.
Chokes on it. Chokes. Right. Like, goodbye, cruel world. It's time to end this farce.
Chicken bone.
Yeah, as you try to, maybe, Busiak, you know, you tried to heal yourself previously. And now you, when you failed that sanity check that seemed to, you know, about the way this place worked, as you go to rest, by the time Busiak wakes up, he realizes that his stitches have all popped. And that in the adrenaline, he didn't realize it. He takes one damage.
That's harsh.
It is harsh. Everyone roll 1d6 to regain some willpower. Yeah.
I got a 5.
Yes!
It's good. Good for you. Good for you!
Thank you, Joey. I just feel like you're not supportive all the time.
Right. Well, good. That's how it should be. That's how it should feel. Things should feel hard. But yeah, so you guys rest. Some of you rest better than others. Busiak, you know, who's been kind of... Man, he's been doing great. It's not the best thing to be the most sane person in the party in Carcosa. Like, that's a rough hand. So it has benefits, but it has risks too. But you guys, with the door bolted and taking some, you know, taking shifts, you guys rest in this place, just sleeping or resting on the bare floor. You know, as you guys bed down, I think for the first time in Carcosa. But gentlemen, that's a good place for us to take a break real quick. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you. Thank you, of course, Pumpkin and Inwills for joining us again. When you guys threw the dynamite, Inwills did say, hope someone's a good shot. Like, because you guys, we could definitely have gotten to problems where you're sitting here with this horde coming at you and Hank is just like plinking off into the distance.
Well, we had 9 more sticks.
Oh, I'm sure it worked out. I'm sure it worked out just fine.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But everyone listening and watching, thank you for joining us. You like this? You want to get episodes a week early? Head over to Patreon. You've heard the spiel before. Like us on the social medias and stuff. Tell a friend about us. Really appreciate it. Really helps. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Back at you.
Thank you. And next time, let's see. You guys think you might make it to the palace eventually, or you just want to be stuck in no man's land forever?
No, this is fun, but...
I will bet money that we reach the palace next session.
Oh, okay.
I will bet $500
right okay, now. I will take that bet, and then I will just subvert your attempts. Excellent. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you, guys. We will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.